بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. أخرج أبو نعيم في الحلية عن أبي عبد الرحمن السلمي عن سلمان رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه تزوج امرأة من كندة فبنى بها في بيتها، فلما كان ليلة البناء مشى معه أصحابه حتى أتى بيت امرأته، فلما بلغ البيت قال: ارجعوا آجركم الله، ولم يدخلهم عليها كما فعل السفهاء. فلما نظر إلى البيت والبيت منجد قال: أمحموم بيتكم أم تحولت الكعبة في كندة؟ قالوا: ما بيتنا بمحموم ولا تحولت الكعبة في كندة. فلم يدخل البيت حتى نزع كل ستر في الباب غير ستر الباب. فلم يدخل البيت حتى نزع كل ستر في البيت غير ستر الباب. فلما دخل رأى متاعا كثيرا فقال: لمن هذا المتاع؟ قالوا: متاعك ومتاع امرأتك. قال: ما بهذا، أوصاني خليلي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أوصاني خليلي ألا يكون متاعي من الدنيا إلا كزاد الراكب. ورأى خدما فقال: لمن هذا الخدم؟ قالوا: خدمك وخدم امرأتك. قال: ما بهذا، أوصاني خليلي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أمسك إلا ما أنكح أو أنكح، فإن فعلت فبغين كان علي مثل أوزارهن من غير أن ينتقص من أوزارهن شيء. ثم قال للنسوة اللاتي عند امرأته: هل أنتن مخرجات عني مخليات بيني وبين امرأتي؟ قلنا: نعم. فخرجنا فذهب إلى الباب حتى أجافه وأرقى الستر، ثم جاء حتى جلس عند امرأته فمسح بناصيتها ودعا بالبركة، فقال لها: هل أنت مطيعتي في شيء أمرك به؟ قالت: جلست مجلس من يطاع. قال: فإن خليلي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصاني إذا اجتمعت إلى أهلي أن أجتمع على طاعة الله. فقام وقامت إلى المسجد فصليا ما بدا لهما، ثم خرج فقضى منها ما يقضي الرجل من امرأته. فلما أصبح غدا عليه أصحابه فقالوا: كيف وجدت أهلك؟ فأعرض عنهم، ثم عادوا فأعرض عنهم، ثم عادوا فأعرض عنهم، ثم قال: إنما جعل الله تعالى الستور والخدور والأبواب لتواري ما فيها، حسب امرئ منكم أن يسأل عما ظهر له، فأما ما غاب عنه فلا يسألن عن ذلك. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: المتحدث عن ذلك كالحمارين يتسافدان في الطريق. This is a little bit of a lengthy incident. Not sure if you'll be able to complete the whole thing, but whatever little time we have. Interestingly, this is a incident about Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the basically what can be described as the first night of his nikah. Maulana Rahmatullah Ali interestingly has brought this incident under the chapter Akhlaqun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ashabuhu, the chapter pertaining to the akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes this question may be asked, that what is the beauty of Islam? What is the beauty of Islam? Sometimes if you have to hear this question, or somebody has to ask you this question, that what is the beauty of Islam? You may be tempted to say, fasting is the beauty of Islam, Quran is the beauty of Islam, piety is the beauty of Islam, abstinence from worldly things is the beauty of Islam. But we find that the word beauty is something that can be illustrated, something that can be shown. So ulama explain, what is the beauty of Islam? They say the beauty of Islam is akhlaq, is character, the character of this Muslim. And when we talk of character, the most important aspect of character is the correct utilization of one's tongue. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Muaz, should I not show you the essence of deen, the crux of deen? In other words, the one thing around which the whole of deen centers. So Muaz bin Jabal said, Ya Rasulullah, what is it? It comes in the hadith, Milakil Umur. Milak means like the king, the crown, the essence of
the whole of deen, whole of Sharia. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it comes, فَأَحْيَا فَأَهْوَى بِيَدَيْهِ إِلَىٰ لِسَانِهِ. The words come in the riwayat. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this was such an important thing, he practically demonstrated it. He took his Mubarak hand, caught his own tongue, pulled it out of his mouth and said to Muaz, أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكَ. Gain control over this piece of flesh. This tongue, gain control of it. This is the essence, the crown, the pinnacle of deen. Muaz bin Jabal was not an ordinary sahabi. Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala is that sahabi. Which he said, tomorrow on the day of judgment, the flag of the ulama of the ummah will be in his hand. So, in other words, one of the most knowledgeable sahaba of the ummah. And yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is explaining this aspect to him like how you would explain a little child. Putting his hand in his mouth, showing the tongue. So Muaz was very surprised. He said, Ya Rasulullah, will Allah take us to task for what the tongue utters? Will Allah take us to task for what the tongue utters? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sakilatka ummuka ya Muaz. Muaz, it surprises me. This is a mild rebuke. Where's your intelligence? I have thought more of you. What is wrong with you? All these translations you can make of it. وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسِ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ إِلَّا حَصَائِبُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. He said, nothing will be more conducive to cause my ummah's face down to be thrown into Jahannam than the produce of their tongue. Husn-e-akhlaq, husn-e-kalam ke baghair na mumkin hai. Well, they say, akhlaq and character without control of the tongue is impossible. So this is very, very important. This aspect of the correct utilization of our tongue, what we speak, more often than not, unfortunately, every time we open our mouth, we are hurting somebody, we are insulting somebody, we are targeting somebody. And what we fail to realize, our elders say the analogy of this is like a bucket with a hole in it. The bucket with a hole, you keep on putting water inside. No water is going to remain in the bucket. So all your tabligh and all your tilawat and all your zikrullah and all your fasting and all your good deeds that you are doing the whole day, if you are not going to control this tongue, the example is going to be like the bucket in the hole. On the one hand, you'll be doing good deeds. You'll be reading Quran, you'll be fasting, you'll be doing all sorts of nakri, going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, you would be destroying those good deeds. The analogy is given in hadith like how dry tinder burns in the fire. Like that you will be destroying your good deeds by not controlling the tongue. So this aspect of akhlaq and character, this is the beauty of Islam. A Muslim, people are attracted to him if his akhlaq and character is good. When he speaks politely, speaks kindly. Particularly, two groups of people are the real crunch test. Two groups of people are the real crunch test for your akhlaq and particularly how you speak. The two groups of people, one is your wife and family at home. Your wife and family at home, that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. He said, the most perfect believer, so far as his iman is concerned, is the one with the best character. And he said, the best amongst you is he who is best to his wife or to his family. So how you conduct yourself in your home, how you interact with your family, whether you are patient, whether you have tolerance, whether you appreciate, whether you control the way you speak. These are, we might think, very small things, but they are very, very important aspects. In fact, Kamal-e-Iman, perfection of Iman, height of Iman, pinnacle of Iman is in this. Bismillah said, the closest amongst you, inna min ahabbikum ilayya, the most beloved amongst you, the most beloved to me, wa aqrabakum minni majlisa, closest to me on the day of judgment, will be the one who treated his wife the best, who treated his family the best. He will be my beloved, and he will be close to me on the day of judgment. So this is one aspect. And the other crunch test is what we call the ma malakat aymanukum, those that are poorer than you or those that work for you. Those that work for you or those that are your subordinates. How you speak to them and how you treat them. Your conduct and character with them, these are the two groups that ulama ikram say by which the akhlaq and character of a person will be judged. Classical example, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 10-year-old boy, his mother brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said to Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I am giving this son to you, this son of mine is now belongs to you. He is your khadim. Use him for your service, take whatever work you want from him. And Anas himself says, خَدَمْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَشَرَ سِنِينَ. He says, I was in the khidmat, in the service, I worked for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. In 10 years, he never raised his voice once with me. He never struck me. He never swore at me. He never insulted me. And if he told me to do something and I didn't do it, for whatever reason, and his family members complained, he would stop them from scolding me and would say to them that if Allah had ordained for this work to have gotten done, it would have got done. Wallah, my respected brothers, this may seem simple, but with your staff, with the subordinate, with the poor, with those that are in a lower class than you, to have this kind of treatment, it is easier, really. It is easier to read Isha and Fajr with the same wuzu for the whole year. It is easier to do that than to do this. But this was that akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said, the people of Makkah, they saw mu'ajizat, they saw miracles, great miracles. Imagine, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing and with his finger in front of them, he splits the moon. One part goes over Safa, one part goes over Jabal of Qubays. Splits the moon literally in front of them. And what they said? He said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have done jadu on the moon. Once he prepared the forearm of an animal, forearm is a small, 3-4 kilos of meat. 40 of the Quraysh were invited. 40 partook of the meal, ate stomach full and the pot is still full. They saw that. And they said that you made jadu on the food also. Like that, many, many examples. Once Abu Jahl comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's close fisted like this. And he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me what's in my hand and I'll believe that you are the Nabi of Allah. Tell me what is in my hand and I'll believe you are the Nabi of Allah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiles at him and says, better than that, why don't I let what is in your hand tell you who I am? He had some stones in his hand, the stones start speaking. Ashhadu annahu Rasulullah. That we bear witness that he is the Rasul of Allah. So what they said, you made jadu on the stone. In Badr, they saw Malaika coming down. They saw Malaika coming down, they still didn't believe. Fateh Makkah, or conquest of Makkah, 10,000 blade swords of the Muslims, those who were vanquished are now entering victorious. Still they didn't accept. But shivering and shaking, 13 years they persecuted him. They took the intestines of camels, put it on his back when he was in Salah, gave his daughters talaq in public, murdered his family members, persecuted his companions mercilessly. Today he has entered as a victor. They are at his mercy. What does he say to them? La tasriba alaykum al-yawm, yaghfirullahu lakum. There will be no revenge. May Allah forgive you. This akhlaq, this forgiveness, this compassion. And the same people who saw miracles that didn't accept Islam, they said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. It was this akhlaq and character. And unfortunately today, if there's anything lacking in our effort of da'wat and tabligh, it is this. Akhlaq and character. The ability to forgive one another, to overlook the faults of others, to conceal other people's faults. The ability that if someone else is prospering, to genuinely be happy in your heart that my brother is prospering and make dua for him. The ability to not carry this baggage in the heart. hatred for someone, enmity for someone, want to fix somebody else up, get revenge against somebody else. Today, brother is not talking to brother. This akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what melted the hearts of people, brought people close to him. Allah Ta'ala, when he speaks of the fikr of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran, there are so many verses where Allah Ta'ala commands Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of mercy, that, oh my Nabi, lessen your fikr, lessen your fikr, lessen your fikr. Ma anta alayhim bi jabbar, lasta alayhim bi wakil, lasta alayhim bi musaytir. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ كُفْرُهُ فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. So many verses. One of our mashayikh says, I counted 150 verses that Allah revealed telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to lessen his fikr, or else he's going to destroy himself. When it came to fikr, Allah said lessen it. When it came to akhlaq and character, what does Quran say? Noon, wal qalam, wama yasturun, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun, wa inna laka la ajran ghayra mamnun, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. When it comes to akhlaq, Allahu Akbar, it's a pity we don't understand Arabic. But look at the vehemence, the emphasis that's found in this expression. Wa inna ka la ala. This is Allahu Akbar. It's difficult to even explain this. Five expressions of emphasis Allah brings when mentioning the akhlaq of Rasulullah. Wa inna ka la ala. This word ala is almost as if Allah Ta'ala is saying, oh my Nabi, you have covered akhlaq. You have overpowered akhlaq. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقْ and then عَظِيمْ. Six words are used to emphasize the standard and the caliber of the akhlaq of Rasulullah. So ittiba'i sunnat without akhlaq is impossible. Tabligh without akhlaq is impossible. This tabligh, unfortunately today, if there's any deficiency, one is dua and this is the other thing that is deficient. This akhlaq and character of Rasulullah. And Sahaba imbibed within themselves this akhlaq and character. Where does akhlaq start? Like I said, control of the tongue. And more deeper than that is what? More deeper than that, what is the essence of where akhlaq starts? To love one another for the sake of Allah. And as long as when you look at your Muslim brother, you notice his color, or his financial status, or his dressing, or his social background, or any aspect besides his iman. When you look at anybody else and you notice any of these things, his weakness, some fault of his, whatever it may be, then from your heart to love him is impossible. For that love for Allah's sake, that is the essence of akhlaq. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La yu'min, your iman will never be complete till you don't reach that level. And this is what tabligh, the goal of tabligh is. And this is why I always say umumi jamaat. Go in umumi jamaat. Don't go with your set social circle. Go with people from different backgrounds. Learn to break down these prejudices that I now have. This idea or this concept that somehow or the other I am superior to the next person. No, don't deceive yourself. Al-hubbu lillah. Love every person for Allah's sake. Bring yourself down to the level of this person. This is akhlaq. And this is what Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imbibed in. One day Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala is talking to his servant. And he gets angry with her. So he says, Ya Amat al-Sawda, O son, O daughter of a black woman. He tells his servant. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the moment he hears this, he says, Innaka imrun fika jahiliya. He says, Abu Dharr, the strains of jahiliyat and ignorance still remain in you. This is not akhlaq. Akhlaq is innaka lasta bi khairin bi ahmar wa la bi aswad. There's no, not one of you is better than the other. Based on your color, or based on your language, or based on your social status, or based on your... Inna Allah azhaba ankum aibat al-jahiliya wa ta'adumaha bi abai wa umatiya. Islam has put an end to all this. That somehow or the other you are superior to the next person because of your color or social status. or family background. وَالنَّاسُ رَجُلَانَ People are only two before Allah. Either he has taqwa, he is honored. If he doesn't have taqwa, he is demeaning before Allah. All of you are the children of Adam, and Adam al-Islam was created from sand. So to this, loving one another for Allah's sake, learning to gain control over our tongue, learning compassion in the heart to let go of this baggage, to remove this quality of nafrat, hatred for one another, to be able to forgive one another. This is the Mufti Zain al-Abidin Sahib rahmatullah, how beautifully he puts it. He says, such an effort Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made on the Sahaba of Madina Munawwara, such an effort Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made. He says, if there were 1,000 males in Madina and one person's brother died, it was as if 999 people's brother died. That was the type of brotherhood which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established. And this is actually the goal and the pinnacle. And wallah, my respected brothers, this, to develop this quality, what does hadith teach us? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an analogy. I'm not giving literal translation, but an analogy. If one of you had the lifespan of Nuh alayhi salam, and for that entire life, every day he fasted, and for that entire life, every night, the whole night he was in tahajjud salah, he will not reach the level of a person who develops this akhlaq and character. مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلْ فِي مِزَانِ الْعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ خُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ Mr. Hassan said there is nothing weightier. There is nothing that will elevate your status on the Day of Judgment more than this akhlaq and character. Akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In any case, coming to this incident, we see, one is to appreciate this incident, you should bear in mind, once more, Ibrahim Devla Sahib, down Barakatu, one of our elders, he mentioned one ajeeb thing in his bayan. He said the mizaj and the temperament of Islam and sunnah, particularly sunnah, what is sunnah and what is the mizaj? And temperament of Islam, he says you will find two things that are very, very clear and are very, very apparent. And when you see these two things there, you will know this is Sunnah. And there are two things which you know are khilaf of Sunnah, taking you away from Sunnah. The two things that are found in every Sunnah, in the mizaj and temperament of Islam, he said, what two things? One he said is haya. Modesty, shame. And the other he said, sadgi, simplicity. This is the life of Rasulullah SAW was shining with this. Every aspect of it. Whether it was his dressing, his conduct, his home, his interaction with his wife, with Sahaba, in the way Nabi Pak portrayed his life, what he brought his ummah on, you will see these two things glaring. Haya, shame, modesty, and simplicity. He brought himself down to such a level that it was accessible to everyone. And the way of batil, you will always find two things. Behayai, shamelessness and extravagance. Ask ourselves one very simple question, and digressing. Today our nikah, our wedding ceremony, the invitation card will have Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim An Nikahu Min Sunnati. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim An Nikahu Min Sunnati. Nikah is from my sunnat. Are these two things there in our nikah? Is simplicity there? Is haya and shame there? Or is it completely opposite? Videoing, camera, music. The type of dressing that is found shocking. And what is the saddest part is that an nikahu min sunnati, in the name of Islam. And what are you actually celebrating? When a nikah is taking place, what are you celebrating? إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْأَبْدُ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الدِّينِ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are celebrating half your deen. Half your religion. Half your religion with shamelessness. Half your religion with immodesty. Half your religion was extravagance. And Quran says, إِنَّ الْمُبَدِّلِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ That those who are extravagant are the brothers of shaitan. This is where we have a convoluted perception or idea or understanding of what is deen and sharia. I remember a few years ago, one brother took me to his house, mashallah, tip top, no expense paid. So then he told me, he's telling me, he said, Maulana, see, my bedroom is also sunnah. My bedroom is sunnah. So I said, what do you mean? He says, no, see this base. My base is on the floor, it's got no legs. So the bed is on the floor, it's sunnah. Now if you look at the base, probably cost about 50,000 rand. Hand-carved base. Hand-carved base, latest mattress. I don't want to even go into the details. And this person in his nadani is saying this is sunnah. Why? Because it's on the floor. This is where we don't understand what is sunnah. Sunnah is sadgi. Sunnah is simplicity. You're spending five times what a normal bed would cost to, and this one is on the floor, so it became sunnah. Hafsa radiallahu anha says, one day I just raised the plate. I raised the plate of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just raised the plate and put it above the ground. What did my Nabi do? He said, Hafsa, put it on the ground. I am a slave and I will eat like a slave. I am a slave and I will eat like a slave. The direct word of the hadith. Simplicity. I always give this example when we went to Nizamuddin. First, when we met Maulana Musa Samrodi, rahmatullah alayhi. At the time he was almost partially blind, passed away now. One of the very senior elders. He was giving us some karguzari about the first American that came to Nizamuddin. Those who have been on Tashkil to America, particularly if you meet these Afro-Americans, mashallah, they are not like us. They are an open book, they speak their mind. We, mashallah, we are talented people, enlightened thinkers. So we'll be thinking something and they say something else. And we'll work out now. Person we are speaking to, what does he expect me to say, will say that. But them is not like that. They are an open book. What's in their heart, they speak. So in any case, he says the first Afro-American from America, first American brother came to Nizamuddin, it was the month of Ramadan. He says after a few days the brother came by Maulana Musa Sahib. He says, you know what, I've got a problem. He says, what's your problem? He says, I'm looking for the Amir, the chief. Who's the chief, the Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat of the whole world? So Maulana Musa Sahib told him that, you know, these last few days when you were making iftar, can you remember the person who was serving you the food while you were eating the iftar? He says, yes. He says, that's the Amir. He says, the one who was serving me the food, he's the Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat of the whole world. He said, yes. Where does he live? So he says, you see that room next to Banglawali Masjid where you were having your iftar? That is his home. This American was shocked. He says, what, no lounge, sitting room, dining room, rest area? He says, in America, until we don't have at least six different classifications, is not counted as a home. And you are saying that the Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat of the whole world living in one room? Musa Sahib, then he said, when I came to South Africa, somebody took me to Stanger. And they took me to show the new house that they built. And they said, Hazrat, ye hamara namaz ka kamra hai. We built this one room, this is our namaz room also. So he said, I thought to myself, America they're talking about six, South Africans have made it seven different times. The mizaj, one is the word sunnah, one is the mizaj, the temperament of sunnah. Temperament of sunnah, these two things have to be there. One is simplicity, the other is haya and shame. And if these two qualities are not there, if there is behaya, if there is shamelessness, immodesty, and there is extravagance, give it any title you want. Give it any title you want, it is not sunnah. It is not sunnah. It is khilaf of sunnah. If you keep that in mind, we always run out of time, but few minutes extra we are taking. Just a few sections of this incident, which very, very clearly this message comes across. Abdul Abdurrahman As-Sulami narrates from Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he had married a woman from the Kinda tribe, which was a famous tribe originally from Yemen. Splinter sections of it were found in Medina and elsewhere. In any case, his nikah was made with a woman from that tribe. فَبَنَا بِهَا فِي بَيْتِهَا. This بَنَا بِهَا means that he spent the first night. In other words, what they call in Urdu, شَبِ الزُفَاف, the night when you consummate your marriage. The first night. MashaAllah, youngsters look forward to that. We have gone past that stage now. But in any case, the first night he was going to spend in the home of his wife. In other words, his spouse, the one who he got married to. So the night came. Salman says, a few of his friends accompanied him till he came to the house of his wife. When he reached the house, the door, he turned around to his friends and he said, please go back. You can leave now. May Allah reward you. And he did not allow them to enter the house like the fools do. Kama fa'ala sufaha. Like the fools do. We today will change the translation of this and we'll say like the enlightened thinkers do. Contemporary Muslims of today, what do they do? The thinking is, if I don't introduce my friends to my wife, they don't shake her hand, they don't say how you, then I've insulted my friend. And we tell them, why, this is not the culture of Islam. This is not the culture of Islam, this type of intermingling, etc. Classical answer. What's the classical answer? My heart is clean. My heart is clean. Don't worry. I got no bad intentions. Allah's system, the moment you will go against Allah's system, they will never be saved. There's one incident, like I said, we're taking a few minutes extra. During the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that this incident is mentioned in all the books of hadith which deal in detail with the Hajjatul Wada of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, farewell Hajj. And particularly, this incident is mentioned. There was a question which a young girl came to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This incident is mentioned not because of that question. The incident is mentioned because of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when she came. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sharing the camel with his cousin, Fadl bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Fadl was the son of Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what does it mean? Fadl bin Abbas is family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahle Bayt. Ahle Bayt Ali Rasul, direct descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is that family. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullu hasabin wa nasabin munqati'un yawm al-qiyamah. He said, every family link or tie will break down on the day of judgment, besides my family link and tie. This is such a family. It is mentioned about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when he was the Khalifa, he proposed for the daughter of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umm Kulsoom radiallahu anha was her name. Umar proposed for the daughter. At the time, the sons of Ali, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, the grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they actually even objected to their father for whatever reason. They felt that their sister would not be happy getting married to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu accommodated the request of Umar. And Umar mentioned this to Ali, that the only reason I am proposing for your daughter is because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said every link will break off on the day of judgment besides the link of my family. So I wanted some link with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is that family. That family, when we send durood, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, convey salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family of Rasulullah and the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one is sahabi, and not just sahabi, Ali Rasul. To venerate them, to have honor for them, to have love for them is part of iman. That is his maqam and status. And he's sharing the camel with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happens? A young girl approaches. She's also a sahabi. Also a sahabi. She approaches and she has a question. What is the question? Ya Rasulullah, my father is very old. He is infirm, incapable. Can I make Hajj on his behalf? This is the question. But like I said, that this incident is mentioned in all the books of Hadith pertaining to Hajjatul Wada, not because of this question, but because of what happened. Fadl was sharing the camel. This young girl approached. Inadvertently, he turned his gaze. Obviously, she was approaching. So he turned to look at her because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at her. When he did this, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lovingly put his hand on the face of Fadl and physically turned his face away, averted his gaze away from her in another direction. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a little bit hurt by this. Why? This was the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every able-bodied sahabi went on this journey if he could. Why? Because they knew that the one chance that we'll get to learn the manasik of Hajj from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now. So there was an X-ray vision on Rasulullah. Everyone is looking at him. Every aspect, where he stopped, where he released himself, where he coughed, everything that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. There was X-ray vision. Call it 124,000 eyes. Whatever you want to call it, was the gaze was locked on him. So obviously, hundreds are looking. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns the face of Fadl away. So Abbas, being the uncle, obviously he has that license, others won't have. So he said, Lawaita onuka ibn ammik. Lawaita onuka ibn ammik. Ya Rasulullah, you turn the face of your nephew, of your cousin away. In other words, what will people think? That was the underlying, the natural objection. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? The crux of what he said. He said, I feared shaitan would come in between them. The fear was not for shaitan coming in between them. Understand the caliber of who we are talking about. This is Ahle Bayt Ale Rasul. These are Sahaba. And Fadl's back is touching the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fadl's back is touching the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is our iman and aqidah. If this whole world gets full with Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani's, all of them put together will not equal the rank of either that young girl or Fadl radiallahu anhu in iman and taqwa. So there was no chance of shaitan coming there. But the sabak was for the ummah going forward. That if you open this door, if you open this door of intermingling, of free looking, if you open this door of interaction between male and female, then shaitan will come. Shaitan will come and he will be successful. So this girlfriend-boyfriend culture, this co-ed culture, this culture on the airwaves of openly laughing and joking between Muslim male and female, you can put whatever title you want to put on it. But by Allah's qasam, that is not Islam. And that is has nothing to do with the sunnah of Rasulullah. What has to do with his sunnah? Bukhari Sharif hadith. Leave outside. He said, in namaz, in salah. If the imam makes a mistake, the man wants to correct it, he has to say, Subhanallah. Those days, women used to come to the masjid, they used to be in the back. Even that much allowance, Sharia didn't give. That woman should not even say, Subhanallah. If she realized the imam made a mistake, then the hukam is tasbih. Just clap her hand. Because even in that Subhanallah, there is imkan of fitna. Even there, Sharia closed the door. Even there, Sharia closed the door. Where, in the name of Islam, is there ever going to be justification for what goes on nowadays in the name of Islam? One of our kabirin mentions one incident on this. I'll terminate. Like I said, from the outset, we realize we won't be able to do this whole incident. But in any case, there's one contemporary writer, Pakistani. His name is Ushfaq Ahmad. Modernist, but he relates one incident. He says once he was in a park in England, either London or Birmingham, I don't remember correctly, sitting with his wife. There was a Jamaat from Pakistan, Pakistani youngsters. It was Namaz time, so they were making Jamaat in the park, Namaz with Jamaat. Then he says he noticed two or three young European girls approaching that Jamaat. They were waiting for them to finish the Namaz.
So he says, I told my wife that this is very interesting what is going on. Let's go a bit closer and listen to what they're saying. Maybe they'll need translation also. Because obviously these are Pakistani youngsters, they may not know English. Then he says, it turns out that the Amir of the Jamaat, the youngster was leading the Salah, knew English. He says, we were close, now we were listening to this conversation. These young European girls, they approached after these people finished the Salah and said, what were you people doing? So they said, we were praying. So they said, it's not Sunday. It's not Sunday, how come people are praying? So they said, no, we pray every day, 5 times a day. So these girls were very surprised. 5 times every day you people pray? So they said, our Creator feeds us every day, gives us air to breathe every day, gives us the eyes which we see, along those lines, showers His bounties upon us 24 hours of every day. What is the problem if 5 times every day we show our thanks? So along those lines, the conversation took place. But the crux, at the end of all this, these girls were very impressed, very satisfied with the replies that they received. So now they are bidding farewell in traditional European style. What is the traditional European style? Stretch the hand out, shake hand, goodbye. So she stretched her hand out to shake hand with the Amir of the Jamaat. So this youngster said, I cannot touch your hand. I cannot shake your hand. I cannot reciprocate your gesture. She asked, why? Why can't you reciprocate my gesture? So what was his answer? He said that this touch is an amanat and a trust that is reserved for my wife. My Shariat and my Deen has reserved it only for my wife. I cannot share it with anybody else. This Ishfaq Ahmad says, when this young girl heard that response, she burst into tears. She burst into tears and she said, if only God would give us husbands like you. If only God would give us husbands like you. And on this he comments, and he says that today, I said to my wife, that today that da'wah of Islam has taken place that volumes would not have been able to achieve. Tirmidhi Sharif riwayat, لَأَنْ يُتْعَنَا فِي رَأْسِ أَحَدِكُمْ بِمِخْيَةٍ مِّنْ حَدِيدٍ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَمُسَّ إِمْرَأَةٍ لَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, it is better that a nail be taken and hammered into your head than you touching that which Allah has made haram for you. The culture of Islam, the mizaj of Islam, the temperament of Islam, my respected brothers, is haya and modesty and simplicity. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha has asked, mafhum of the hadith, scientists will tell you how. Scientists will not tell you why. Scientists will tell you how, they may even predict when, they will not tell you why. Question was asked to her, why, that when and why will earthquakes happen, tsunamis happen, natural disasters happen. One answer she gave, she said 3 things. One thing she said, that when zina will occur in the ummah as if it is halal. When zina will occur so rampantly as if it is halal. What is opening the door to this? This culture of intermingling, this culture of interrelation, this free talking, free mixing. Respected brothers, this goes completely against the grain of Shariat and Islam. And the sad part of it is that today there is a very rampant attempt to portray this as if it is something that is halal, as if it is permissible, as if it is part of Islam. That is where the danger is. Because if you think something is permissible, that is not permissible, there is no question of you making tawbah or even realizing the harm of it. Allah give us tawfiq. Already took place earlier. We'll make short dua now, because we can do the infiradi aman, inshaAllah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu, wa laka ash-shukru kullu, wa laka al-mulku kullu, biyadika al-khayru kullu, ala aniyatu wa sirru. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayka, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, wanzilhu al-maq'ad al-muqarrab indaka yawm al-qiyamah. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. اللهم إنا ندعوك الله وندعوك الرحمن وندعوك البر الرحيم وندعوك بأسمائك الحسنى كلها ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم أن تغفر لنا وترحمنا.
لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إن مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجى عندنا من أعمالنا يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب اغفر لنا ولجميع أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة حبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن سيئات أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد الإنس والجان اللهم افتح أبواب الهداية اللهم أخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور وجنبهم الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن يا رب العالمين اللهم إنك تسمع كلامنا وترى مكاننا وتعلم سرنا وعلانيتنا ولا يخفى عليك شيء من أمرنا نحن البائسين الفقراء المستغيثين المستجيرين الوجلين المشفقين المقرين المعترفين بذنوبنا نسألك مسألة المساكين ونبتهل إليك ابتهال المذنب الذليل وندعوك دعاء الخائف الضرير دعاء من خضعت لك رقبته وذل لك جسمه ورغم لك أنفه وفاضت لك عبرته اللهم لا تجعلنا بدعائك شقيا اللهم لا تجعلنا بدعائك شقيا اللهم لا تجعلنا بدعائك شقيا وكلنا رؤوفا رحيما وكلنا رؤوفا رحيما ومسمسف الأمسك عند الله يا الله يا الله on the eve of the departure of this Mubarak and blessed month of Ramadan Ya Allah, on this night you free more souls than you have freed the entire month from Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are beseeching you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make the decision of our maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make the decision of our maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make the decision of our maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it seems almost in the blink of an eyelid, this great guest of yours has come and gone, Ya Allah. Like that our lives in this world are slipping away, Ya Allah. Aksar zindagi guzar gayi. Most of our lives are already gone, Ya Allah. Still our hearts are devoid of your love, Ya Allah. What greater loss can there be, Ya Allah, that we take your name, that we don't feel the sweetness in our hearts. We take your name and our hearts are not beating with your love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we don't want to die in this condition. With these dirty, filthy hearts that are devoid of your taluk and your taqwa and your love, Ya Allah, we don't want to die in this condition, Ya Allah. We have come into the bazaar of Iman to purchase your love, Ya Allah. But your love is not cheap. Your taluk is not cheap, Ya Allah, but our pockets are empty, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, your one pious delay said, Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Sari dunya se wahshat ho gayi. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Ya Allah, grant us your love, Ya Allah. Grant us your ta'alluq, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the qualities of iman, Ya Allah. Grant us tawakkul, taqwa, khashiyat, sabr, ikhlas, lilayat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts of negative qualities, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts of hatred, of jealousy, of malice, of envy, of greed, Ya Allah. Cleanse us of riyakari, Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us ikhlas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us ikhlas, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there is a great disparity between what we say and what we do, Ya Allah. Hamare qaul aur amal mein bahut tazad ho chuki hai. Mere bolo, bahut tazad. Hum to munafiq hai, Ya Allah. Tu to haqeeqat jaante hai, Ya Allah. It's your favor that you made
that you placed a chadar over us and you covered us, Ya Allah, but you know the reality, Ya Allah. How long is it going to be empty talks, Ya Allah? How long is it going to be empty talks, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, give us the reality of the six qualities, Ya Allah. Give us the reality of Iman, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the reality of Ittiba'i Sunnat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the reality of Khushu and Khudu in our Salah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, from Takbir Ula to Salam, let it only be You, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, grant us the true knowledge of Your Deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us amongst the Zakireen, Ya Allah. Make us amongst the Zakireen, those who are conscious of You at all times, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the akhlaq of Huzur-e Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allahumma ahdina li ahsanil akhlaq. Allahumma ahdina li ahsanil akhlaq. اللهم اهدنا لأحسن الأخلاق فإنه لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت واصرف عنا سيئها فإنه لا يصرف عنا سيئها إلا أنت يا رب العالمين يا الله grant us إخلاص يا الله make us amongst the مخلصين يا الله يا الله يا الله اس کام کے حقائق ہمارے سامنے کھول دے اس کام کے نفع کھول دے اس کام کو اپنی زندگی کے مقصد بنانے کے توفیق نصیب فرما ہمیں دین کے داعی بنا دے اللہ یا اللہ accept us for this work of دعوت and تبلیغ یا اللہ grant us the فکر of حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم grant us the جذبہ of صحابہ یا اللہ یا اللہ let our last breath be in your path یا اللہ take us to the four corners of the world یا اللہ یا اللہ use us to raise your name in the name of your حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم یا اللہ use us as a means of ہدایت یا اللہ use us as a means of ہدایت یا اللہ Too long we have been an obstacle, Ya Allah. Grant us the qualities of a da'i, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the qualities of a da'i, Ya Allah. Grant us your love, the love of Rasulullah Paak, the love of Quran, the love of Amal of Masjid, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Accept our family members, Ya Allah. Accept the entire ummat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. یا اللہ جاتا ہوا رمضان یا حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم there will be so many who fasted there will be so many who fasted but got nothing but hunger out of their fast and there will be so many who stood in the nights of Ramadan and the Musalla but got nothing but sleeplessness and tiredness out of their standing now If the reality had to be said, Ya Allah, we are amongst them. Hamare aamal mein koi jaan nahi hai, Ya Allah, koi jaan. Hamare aamal tere mohabbat se khali ho chuke. Phir bhi maine bola, bheek maang rahe hain. Beshak hum munafiq hain, beshak hum riyakar hain, lekin phir bhi Definitely, Ya Allah, we are munafiq. We are riyakar. We are begging you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it's not worthy, but still accept it, Ya Allah. No one will question you, Ya Allah. No one will question you. It's not worthy, but please accept it, Don't turn us away empty-handed. Don't turn us away empty-handed. Don't turn us away. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اجعلنا ممن صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا فغفر له ما تقدم من ذنب اللهم اجعلنا ممن صام الشهر واستكمل الأجر وأدرك ليلة القدر وأدرك ليلة القدر وأدرك ليلة القدر وفاز بالثواب والأجر اللهم اجعلنا من اتقاء شهر رمضان ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومطاعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله